Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As you know, fall is upon us. It's fall, y'all. Football's in the air and the bugs are coming in. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. Let us help you with termites, ants, and everything in between. Just give us a call or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com.
Howie, it's so big. Robert Irwin Jewelers only does it once a year.
We're having our annual half-off sale this Friday and Saturday at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Get half off everything in the store.
Everything in the store, all four locations, is half off.
With the exception of loose diamonds.
How about engagement rings?
Half off.
Diamond pendants?
Half off.
Watches?
Are you just trying to see how I say half off?
I like you with half off.
All half off.
Thank you, Howie. Robert Irwin Jewelers.
2 days only, this Friday and Saturday. All four locations, but don't go online for this one. In-store only.
As a bald man, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Parish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope the NCAA didn't think that California was going to get scared into not passing its Fair Pay for Play Act. Because that didn't work. And then I hope the NCAA didn't think that it was going to stop there, because now a state senator in New York, perhaps to get the same kind of positive press a state legislator in California got for introducing a bill, has introduced his own bill. And it goes even further than the California bill goes, which now means we could have a world very soon where California and New York, two of the most populated states in the United States of America, have passed bills that will soon allow student-athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. So this story is not going away. I'll get you updated on it momentarily. But first, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Robert Klimko covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated, SI.com. He is the man who had the incredible Antonio Brown story that published 2 days ago, detailing, among other things, a second sexual misconduct allegation by another woman against Antonio Brown, current wide receiver of the New England Patriots. Robert Klimko is going to join me in about 20 minutes at 4:25. I will talk all things Antonio Brown with him then. Finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories, 4:44, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Eli Manning spoke publicly for the first time today since being benched in favor of Giants rookie Daniel Jones, to the surprise of nobody. He handled the situation gracefully. We'll get into that around 4:44. Interesting story from Chris Lowe, ESPN, on Lane Kiffin's 1 year at Tennessee today. If you haven't read it yet, you really should. It's worth your time. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Steph Curry announced this morning that his plan is to play in the 2020 Summer Olympics, so that's one superstar at least on board. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States, who's now 95 years old, said last night that he does not believe he could have been president at the age of 80, which has been interpreted as an endorsement of anybody other than Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's 76 now, turned 77 in November, would be 78 when he took office if he were elected. Bernie Sanders is 78 now, would be 79 if elected when he took office. So both would turn 80 during their first term, and we've never had an 80-year-old president. The oldest person ever to hold that office was Ronald Reagan, who left office at the age of 77. So even if Donald Trump, who's 73 now, gets a second term, he can't possibly hit 80 while in office. So it seems clear this is going to be a point of discussion in this election going forward. We'll get into it during Four Notable Stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, like always, then I'll eventually do Dinner to Go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with more developments in the pursuit to allow student athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Kevin Parker, he's a state senator in New York. He's from Brooklyn. He has proposed a bill that would give student athletes in New York the right to sell the rights to their name, image, and likeness. And he told ESPN today that he's actually added an amendment to the bill that would require athletic departments to give 15% of their annual revenue to student athletes. Basically, the way it would work if his bill became law is that universities in the state of New York would have to give 15% of their annual revenue, put it into a fund for student athletes, and then it would be dispersed evenly among all student athletes at that school. So this bill goes even farther than California's Fair Pay for Play Act that was passed unanimously last week. And it's evidence, I think, that the movement to allow student athletes to, at the very least, profit off their name, image, and likeness is strengthening. It's not just California anymore. It could soon be New York, too. And it appears the NCAA isn't going to be able to threaten states in being too scared to adopt similar laws. That's what they tried to do with California, you might remember. The NCAA sent a letter first to California lawmakers and then to the California governor, imploring them to slow down, to don't do this yet. We're working on rule changes that would allow student athletes in some form to profit off their name, image, and likeness. So, like, why don't you just guys cool out and we'll handle this? And Nancy Skinner, a state legislator in California, she essentially said, you've had 100 years to work on this, and you've never shown any willingness to go there without the courts pushing you. With all due respect, you've had time. We're not waiting on you anymore. We're not on your timeline. You will adapt to our timeline. And she presented the bill, and it passed. I believe the final vote was 111-0. And Governor Newsom in California has not signed it into law yet, but he is expected to. And unless he vetoes it in the 30 days within the bill being passed in California State Assembly, then it automatically becomes law. And there's no indication whatsoever that he's going to veto it. In fact, there's no precedent whatsoever for a governor vetoing something that passed unanimously in the way that this worked. And so what the NCAA did to try to scare California from going this far is they said, now, do you understand? We won't care what your laws are. Our rules are our rules. And if your laws cause student athletes to violate our rules, we will rule your student athletes ineligible. And therefore, your teams will not be eligible. So USC will not be competing in this hypothetical world for a football championship. And UCLA will not be allowed to participate in the NCAA tournament, and Stanford, and Cal, and Long Beach State, and so on and so forth. And what California lawmakers basically did is bond together and say, try it. Try it. And we will have a very powerful class action lawsuit against you. You try to prevent our student athletes, our universities, from competing for championships based on the law that we put into place, and we will see you in court. And we know you got lots of lawyers and lots of money, but so do we. We're the state of California. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't blink. And now it looks like New York's not blinking either. It's one thing to threaten to ban UCLA, USC, Stanford, California, four Pac-12 schools, and every other school in the state from competing for NCAA championships at whatever level. I don't think they'd really do it. But it's an obvious tactic if you're trying to slow this down to say that you will. But when they don't blink, and then within a week, New York jumps on board, now you're bringing Syracuse into the equation. Now you're bringing St. John's into the equation. Now you're bringing, again, hypothetically, Ivy League schools like Columbia and Cornell into the situation. There's some thought that there's a North Carolina lawmaker working on a similar bill, whether he wants to try to pass it at the state level or the national level is undetermined. But now we're talking about Duke, North Carolina, NC State. Once one state won't blink, like California didn't blink, and a state lawmaker gets real national attention for positive reasons, like California's Nancy Skinner has been getting for the past few weeks, it's a wrap for the NCAA on this topic. Because once other state lawmakers understand, it's an easy way to score political points. It's an easy way to create a national brand. Who knew outside of the state of California, and maybe inside of the state of California, Nancy Skinner 2 months ago? I didn't.
Right.
Now I know her name. I know a lot of stuff about her. And so now we've got Kevin Parker, a New York state senator, submitting a similar bill. Like, you can't threaten to ban the entire country or 11 different states from competing for championships. So once California doesn't blink and New York says, ooh, that seemed to be a positive thing in that state, we're a progressive state as well, probably be a positive thing in our state. At some point, every progressive lawmaker in this country, in progressive states in this country, is going to recognize it's an easy way to score political points. Not to mention it's just the right thing to do, but an easy way to score political points. And so the NCAA is in real trouble here. Their only hope was to scare states into doing this, into not doing this, by threatening ineligibility. But like I said, you can't make the whole country ineligible. So now the NCAA is probably going to have no obvious choice but to adapt by 2023, at which point the concept of strict amateurism will, thankfully, finally, be a thing of the past. Now, I'm not going to spend much more time, perhaps any more time, explaining in great detail why Tim Tebow sounded like a moron last Friday trying to defend the concept of strict amateurism. If you need to hear that, I did the opening segment of Friday's show on that. Go check it out. There's a link on my Twitter account. There's a link on the Gary Parish Facebook page. If you missed it, go listen to it. It'll make you smarter, at least on this subject, I'm certain. But there's no need for me to go through it point by point again right now, again right here. But what I will do, though, is point out something I noticed over the weekend while I was accepting questions on this subject, whether it was on Twitter or Facebook, and just swatting away the counter-arguments, just swatting them out of the sky with ease. And that's that it is incredible to me how many people try to debate on this subject even when they have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not saying these people are dumb or anything like that. I'm just saying on this subject, they have no idea what they're talking about. And yet, they're going hard at each other, at me. Like, somebody posted the Tim Tebow rant.
Been looking at it.
On the 92.9 Facebook page, I guess Friday afternoon, right? Even before I did 20 minutes on it on radio. Mm-hmm. And, like, two or three guys started going back and forth. And not a single one of them had any actual grasp for the subject that they were discussing. Not one. It was amazing. And I'm just like contrasting it with like my own approach to arguing or debating or even talking about things publicly. And I know that this is one way to do it through a microphone, but another way to discuss things publicly is on social media at a place like Facebook. Like, I promise, I think I can promise you this. You will never hear me or see me debating intensely something I don't know about. I just won't do it. Like, I don't know that much about tariffs, you know? So like, I ain't going to jump on Facebook and start arguing with somebody about tariffs.
Sure.
Like, I don't, that ain't my deal. And yet, these guys were just going back and forth. I swear, none of them were right. Like, they were disagreeing, but none of them were right about any aspect of anything. Like, one guy, he said that, well, you know, what people don't understand is this would only affect, like, 20 people. If you allowed folks to profit off their name, image, and likeness, it'd really only affect, like, 20 people in the whole country. Just not true. It would affect lots of people at just about every university, if yeah. not every university, because where people, I guess, can't wrap their head around this, even if I've explained it 50,000 times, is that when you think of allowing student-athletes to profit off name, image, and likeness, it's not just Nike wanting to put Marvin Bagley on a
right.
billboard. That's not what it is. It is that, but it's also Jim Kara's Chevrolet.
Yeah, the local car dealership.
Yep. Wanting to put Boogie Ellis on a billboard. It's also Cooper Systems wanting to get Damian Baugh to come out
Got
next Saturday
yep.
and sign autographs. It's anything. And I don't know if there'd really be any value for a place like Cooper Systems in paying Damian Baugh to come out and sign autographs. But if Lee and Lauren Cooper were hardcore Memphis fans and they wanted to try to help the program in any way they could, they'd say, Damian Baugh, come on out. We'll pay you $2,000 to sit here and sign autographs for 30 minutes. Yes, it would get that small. So the idea that this would only apply to James Wiseman and people like James Wiseman, to Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence and people like Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence, it's just not true.
Right.
You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, people like that would get big Nike endorsements, big Under Armour endorsements, big FedEx endorsements, big Wheaties endorsements, McDonald's endorsements, all, yes. But this would trickle down to the local level at every university that has any fans that care about the program at all. And yes, it would even be like softball players, because there's somewhere in this country, I don't know where it is, but there's somewhere in this country where there's a booster that cares deeply about softball.
Yep.
And if that booster thinks he can create a recruiting advantage by creating endorsement opportunities for softball prospects, well, then that is what that booster is going to do. So the idea that this would only affect a handful of people is just wrong. It's wrong. And yet these guys, I swear to God, they were just, you could go look it up yourself. They're going back and forth, all of them so sure of themselves. But I could even, like, understand them arguing with each other. Like, none of them really, you might be able to win that, even if you don't know what you're talking about, because, like, the other dudes might not know what they're talking about either. Then these dudes start trying to argue with me. And again, like, if you wanted to pick an argument with me about tariffs or about hedge funds, like, knock yourself out. I'm not equipped to talk to you about those things, so I won't do it. But, and I say this as modestly as I could, why would you think you could argue with me on this subject? How do you, what makes you think you know more about this than me? I've been covering college athletics for 20 years. I've been one of the national voices screaming about this exact issue for a decade. I've written the columns. I've done all the research. I've talked to all the people. I got two major media companies who pay me to have opinions on these types of things. How do you think you could come to the table and argue with me about this?
It's Facebook, man.
I was blown away. One person after another trying to tell me what I don't understand. There is nothing about this topic that you can tell me that I don't understand. Literally nothing. Anyway, last thing I'd say is that Bennett was out on Friday. Connor produced the show.
Yep.
And did a wonderful job. I appreciated him being here. I missed you. I don't mean to imply I didn't miss you.
No, I'm glad he did a good job.
But Connor did a good job. And so we talked about all this, and apparently one of his buddies or somebody he knows was listening. And Connor texted me over the weekend. He said he talked to somebody who listened to the opening segment, and the guy disagreed with what I said, which is fine in a vacuum. There are sensible ways to disagree with what I say. It's just that the people who disagree don't usually identify those ways. Connor's buddy seemed to be one up. His buddy told Connor, he said, you know, he disagrees with this, all of this. And he says, just because somebody's 6'5" and can run a 4.340, it doesn't mean that they deserve $200,000.
No, it does mean that.
He said, that's not fair to him. That doesn't sound fair. And here's the thing. I actually think his statement is true, even if he doesn't know why it's true. You're right. Just because somebody's 6'5" and can run a 4.340, it does not mean they deserve $200,000. But here's the thing. I've never argued, and the people who are writing these bills are not arguing, that anybody deserves anything other than the right to accept whatever somebody decides they're worth. I'm not out here suggesting, wasn't on Friday, not again today, not out here suggesting that every student athlete deserves something, that everybody should get a certain amount of money. I'm merely insisting, and have been for years, that everybody should be allowed to take whatever anybody is willing to give them. That's it. You don't deserve anything except the right to accept what somebody decides you're worth. If that's a lot, wonderful. If it's a little, fine. And if it's nothing, that's fine too. I'm happy to let the market decide, like we do with basically everything else in this country. But denying student athletes the opportunity to profit off their name, image, and likeness, when literally, follow me here, every other student on literally every campus in this country is allowed to do so, is wrong. You cannot logically explain why it's not wrong. I've said it for years. I've explained why for years. And now, and this is the point, lawmakers are starting to say it too. And they're not only saying it, they're actually introducing bills to change the laws that'll change the way the NCAA is allowed to operate. It's all good stuff. Only an NCAA official or a university president or somebody else getting rich off of the revenue that student athletes produce could argue otherwise. Only them plus Tim Tebow. Only them plus Tim Tebow and some people on Facebook. Robert Klimko works for Sports Illustrated. He had an amazing Antonio Brown story that published on Monday. Among other things, it brought to light a second sexual misconduct allegation against Antonio Brown. I'm going to talk to Robert Klimko next.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
It's hot outside, but there is something that's hotter than the temperatures these days, and you guessed it. It's the deals at James Davis. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. But you need to understand, they have so much more than suits. They have 5 pocket pants in every fabric and fit. And good news, the brand new Stant Custom Fit Fabrics for fall have arrived. I know you've heard me talk about these Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements, take it at James Davis, and 10 minutes later, you're going to have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in just 9 days. They start at only $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get Stant Custom Fit shirts, you'll never buy off the rack again. Paul Bettinelli suits are still 2 for only $7.95 at James Davis. So if you got a wedding party, don't rent tuxedos. That's a waste. Get suits for your groomsmen, suits that fit perfectly and can be used again. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 2 voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. When our clients come to us for representation, I see way more than a client. I see me. When I hear someone has a herniated disc or a back injury, I think, what if that was me? How would that impact my life? I put myself in your shoes and in your life. When I look at your family, I see my family. This outlook makes my firm think differently than most. I understand that some injuries are forever, and forever is a very long time. For 30 years, we've helped hundreds of thousands recover what they deserve. $1 billion last year alone. Why? Because you are us. You are me. Every time we hear your stories, we feel like it's us. If you're injured in a car crash, slip and fall, or the victim of medical malpractice, call us because we care. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's #529. Morgan & Morgan, for the people. .com.
Memphis Madness returns Thursday, October 3rd to FedEx Forum at 7 p.m. Tickets start at just $5. That's right. You get to see the University of Memphis men's and women's basketball teams, former players, the mighty sound of the South, and maybe even special guests, all for just $5. If that's not enough, the Blue Carpet Experience starts on the FedEx Forum Plaza at 5 p.m. And that is a free event for the entire community. So get your tickets today at GoTigersGo.com. Memphis Madness is presented by Ashley Home Store.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase.
Eli Manning, Ole Miss alum, longtime New York Giants starting quarterback, spoke publicly for the first time earlier today since being benched in favor of Giants rookie Daniel Jones. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Clark is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, the story published Monday at SI.com under the headline, "There's More History to Antonio Brown's History." It further painted a disturbing picture of a football star who just last week was accused of sexual assault by a woman from right here in Memphis. The man who reported and wrote the story, it's Robert Klimko. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Hey, Robert, first things first, from one reporter to another, I just want to compliment you on the reporting that I know goes into a story like the one you published a couple days ago on Antonio Brown. It's not easy to chase down all those documents, to make all those phone calls, to get all of those people to speak to you the way those people talk to you. You obviously put in a lot of hours. So let me just start by asking, how long did you work on this Antonio Brown story before you published it?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we got a tip about 20 days ago from someone in the training community who said that Antonio Brown hadn't been paying his bills, and that if we did a little digging, there were a lot of people that felt that Antonio Brown owed them money. And there had already been a couple lawsuits out there to that effect. So I started calling up people, really, that Antonio had tagged on Instagram as, you know, providing him any kind of service, and also contacted the lawyers for the people that have filed the lawsuits, because we figured that if a lawyer is in the press for filing a lawsuit for unpaid wages against Antonio Brown, then maybe somebody else might reach out to that lawyer to try to get him to work on their case. And that was actually the case with three of the lawyers that we talked to, that they had additional people that had reached out and they were in the process of filing additional lawsuits. So that's how it started, with a tip. And then as bizarre as it seemed that Antonio Brown wouldn't pay for something like a $700 painting to a charity, or a $2,000 installation of some piranhas in his home, we checked it out, and it rang true.
Can you make sense of that? Why somebody who has made as much money as he's made would be so committed to, for lack of a better verb, stiffing one person after another out of, relatively speaking, small amounts of money that he owes them? Like, what is the rationalization here, or is it simply we're just dealing with a different dude?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different dude. I mean, a lot of people felt like it was some measure of disrespect because, you know, $2,000 is nothing to him. And, you know, one of the guys who, the fish tank guy who installed the piranhas and then had to come get them once AB let them all die, he was saying that, you know, Antonio Brown, while he's waiting on $2,000, is buying a Richard Mille watch in Paris. So, you know, the guy's got the money, he's got the means. It's just that these people feel that there's a disrespect factor at work here.
Talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated, the most notable thing in the story, I think at least, is that you have another woman, a second woman, accusing Antonio Brown of sexual misconduct. She's an artist who was doing work at AB's home, and her story is similar to one of Brittany Taylor's stories in the sense that it involves Antonio Brown standing behind her and acting inappropriately, perhaps criminally, in a sexual way without her knowledge or consent. What if anything, does that mean to you? That her story has some of the same aspects of the one story that we've heard from Brittany Taylor in the lawsuit?
Yeah, you know, there's that aspect of it, and then there's also, you know, recruiting somebody to work for you and then making a sexual advance, you know, that so that you have some sort of power or sway over that person. You know, that that's what people who study rape, they say that it's most often somebody that you know and somebody that has some sort of leverage over you. You know, she didn't file any charges or call the police because Antonio Brown didn't touch her. But her friend, this artist, sent the lawsuit to her, the Brittany Taylor lawsuit, when it came out because the circumstances sounded so familiar to what she had told them happened with Antonio Brown back in 2017. Even still, you know, she didn't reach out to us. You know, we actually found her through the foundation that I mentioned, this charity for literacy and children, where Antonio Brown had pledged to buy a $700 painting that this woman had donated to the charity. And then he got her phone number and got her to come over and paint a mural of himself at his home. And then that job got cut short when she didn't, him being naked behind her wasn't well received. And then he never paid the $700 to the charity. Like, this guy is so bad at tying up loose ends. It's incredible.
Incredible. I'm talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. I guess whether Antonio Brown is a rapist is up for debate at this point, and perhaps we shouldn't even debate such a thing. But it's pretty clear, regardless, he's a bad guy. Multiple women have accused him of sexual misconduct. Multiple women have accused him of physical violence. Multiple people, lots of people, as we've detailed, have accused him of bad business dealings. Obviously, he's an immensely talented football player, which is why he's got a job. But is there any thought that, you know, around the league that maybe, even if he's not a rapist, that maybe, just maybe, an NFL franchise simply should not want somebody like this representing them? Or is it just as simple as his talent trumps everything, at least for now?
Yeah, you know, I think a team like the Patriots, you know, probably feels like most of this stuff happens in the offseason, and if they can keep him on the straight and narrow in the building, they only have to deal with him for 1 year, and then they'll pay him several million dollars, and then in the offseason, they'll just unleash him on the city of Miami. And it's, you know, no sweat off their back. It's a league that enables people that are extremely talented and can help you get to that ultimate goal, which is a Lombardi trophy. And they do nothing to sugarcoat that. And the only mitigating factor is the league office. And Roger Goodell has the responsibility to try to force players to represent the field well. That's why they sat down with Brittany Taylor for 10 hours. That's why they'll request an interview with Antonio Brown and try to get some sort of closure here and some sort of understanding of what happened.
You know, it's been reported that the Patriots didn't know about the potential of this lawsuit in advance of signing Antonio Brown, but I know you don't believe that because, as you sensibly pointed out on Twitter, it defies logic to suggest that an agent like Drew Rosenhaus would keep this from somebody as powerful as Bill Belichick, given how often those two men have had to work together in the past and how often, presumably, they're going to have to work together in the future. Plus, and I know you've seen this, or I'm sure you've seen this, there was social media chatter about this lawsuit before the Raiders even released Antonio Brown. Why don't more people seem to understand that? Why are people willing to just believe that the Patriots didn't know when that doesn't actually make much sense?
Yeah, I mean, when you win 6 Super Bowls in 10 years, I think you get a lot of people who are willing to drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, to think that Drew Rosenhaus wouldn't disclose that sort of information and say, hey, there's a sexual assault lawsuit coming down the pike, but we think we can beat it. It's silly. You know, I don't know why anybody with the Patriots would, you know, leak it to an NFL.com reporter that Kraft didn't know, you know, and I guess to provide some sort of cover for Kraft and Patriots sponsors should this entire thing go south, but it's beyond the pale.
I'm talking to Robert Klimko from SI.com. He's on Twitter at Robert Klimko. He is the person who wrote the incredible Antonio Brown story that published at SI.com on Monday. If you haven't checked it out yet, you should. Antonio has been accused of criminal behavior. He denies it, but there's no denying he is guilty of irrational behavior. He seems, in simple terms, from a distance, obviously, unstable, with lots of examples to back this up. Among them, an allegation that you detailed in the story, which is him, the cops being called to his Florida apartment because he's hurling furniture off of a 14th floor balcony. Like, a young child was nearly hit. That's something I think, like, only a crazy person would do. And so I guess I'd ask you this. When you talk to people around the league who know Antonio Brown, is there a concern that he's not just difficult or easily agitated, but that he's actually, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, like mentally unwell? Is there a thought that he could be dealing on a very basic level with mental illness?
That's, you know, that's an assumption a lot of people have made. It's very difficult to get at that, obviously, because it's such a personal thing. It's such a private thing. And also, his entourage, the people that are around him every day, is constantly rotating. There's been no constant person in his life that can speak to how his behavior has changed outside of Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus is the only person that stays in his orbit because Drew is not sitting there giving Antonio advice on how to fix his life. They're beyond that. It's, oh, all right, I'm going to put out these fires as they come. And so when that's the only person that's in your life on any regular basis, you know, how can anybody tell, you know, what you're going through or what you're dealing with, or tell you that you need to go get some sort of help? I don't want to speculate. I can't say whether or not he's dealing with any mental illness right now, but I know that a lot of people that used to be close to him are worried about that.
I'm talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. Back to Brittany Taylor for a moment. You mentioned that she spent 10 hours yesterday with the NFL. Is there any thought that she might have more evidence than what's actually in the civil suit? Because, like I've said already, it seems clear Antonio Brown's a bad guy, but it also seems, I think, clear to me that unless she's got more than what we saw last week, this looks like a he said, she said deal that probably doesn't go much further than where it's at right now. Do we know if she's, so to speak, placed all her cards on the table yet?
Well, you know, the only cards that I could see that she wouldn't have placed on the table would be testimony, affidavits from people that were there and knew the relationship and were familiar with their dealings that they were not able to interview as part of evidence for the lawsuit. And, of course, if Allegheny County had been able to file criminal charges, which they can't because the two-year statute of limitations has passed, then they would have called some of these people to the stand and forced some of these people who were, you know, reluctant or unwilling to talk. But now that it's a civil case, there's really no legal authority to do so. So I would guess that all of her cards are on the table, and the NFL's recourse right now is to take that 10 hours of testimony, try to piece together a timeline, and then talk to Antonio Brown and see if he lies to them.
I'm wrapping up here with Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. Last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. I know you're not a fortune teller. I know that you can't predict the future, but you've done an incredible amount of reporting on this subject. You're probably better equipped than almost anybody to have an idea for where this goes from here. Is Antonio Brown in the NFL a year from now? Do you anticipate his off-the-field behavior, which is well-documented, will ultimately lead to a professional undoing or a personal undoing or maybe both?
Yeah, like you said, it's so hard to guess. And honestly, you know, when we published this story, we had five now people reach out to us with more claims and accusations about Antonio Brown. So, you know, who knows what's going to come out here in the next 6 months now that the floodgates have opened on this guy. If he continues to play at the level that he played in his debut for the Patriots, I think there's going to be a place in the league for him for a long time unless some sort of criminal charge forces the NFL to act.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. If you haven't read the story yet, go check it out, SI.com. It is on Antonio Brown and all of the things that come with Antonio Brown. You did a tremendous job reporting it, tremendous job writing it. I know you've been talking about it nonstop. I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me.
Thank you, guys, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers, indeed. I'll see you. That's Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. The story really was well done, and it seemed obvious to me, having done big, thoroughly reported stories before, back when I actually wrote consistently for a living, that there's no way he just started working on this last week when Brittany Taylor's lawsuit was made public, or even when Antonio Brown was released from the Raiders. There was too much in there that it seemed like, even when we thought things were maybe probably going to be okay with Antonio Brown in Oakland, even before he called his general manager a cracker and threatened to hit him, I assumed Robert had to have been working on this story way back then. And he confirmed that he was. It was, 20 days ago that they started working, after getting tips one after another about the behavior of Antonio Brown. And like I said, this guy checks every box. I mean, when you've had multiple women accuse you of sexual assault, multiple women accuse you of physical violence, and a long list of people say that you promised to pay them in exchange for their services, whether it's, physical therapy, dieting plan, or painting a mural in your home, and got stiffed almost without exception, time and time and time again. Like, you're a bad person. There's no getting around it. And like I said earlier in the week, if you wanted to try to figure out why he's a bad person, like, we could explore that another time. He grew up poor. He grew up without his father. He spent part of his teenage years homeless, bouncing from one teammate's couch to another. And I've read enough about all of that stuff to understand that it can have real long-term negative impacts on people, not just football players, all sorts of people. But at some point, like, you made it, and it's time to break out of it. And if you can't do it on your own, I'm confident the NFL or the New England Patriots be happy to put you with the best counselors and structure people who would help you work through these things. And yet he is, at least according to all the reporting, forever resisted any of that. Like, doesn't seem to recognize that, the people in Pittsburgh weren't the problem. The people in Oakland aren't the problem. And whenever he has issues in New England, that they're not the problem. Like, if the problems keep following you around, you're probably the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think, and I talked to Robert about this, the most interesting aspect between the artist story of sexual misconduct as it pertained to Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor's is that very specific act is consistent in both of their stories. Brittany Taylor says, Antonio Brown was standing behind me and pleasuring himself without my knowledge. Now, you can say she's making that up. Some people do. Antonio Brown does. But when you've got a total independent source, another woman who has been around Antonio Brown, who was, just like Brittany Taylor, hired by Antonio Brown to come into his home on payroll, and she's got a similar story. I was bent over painting the bottom of a mural on his wall, and Antonio Brown was behind me, butt naked. To me, that says something to me. I don't know if it means Antonio Brown's a rapist. I don't know if it means both women are telling the truth. But when two people have the same story about you, Ben and I talked about this earlier in the week, and the same story is that story, it does lend credibility to the story, I think. You call one person a liar, but when two people who don't know each other have a very similar story about somebody, again, it doesn't mean they're both telling the truth, but it does give the story, at least in my opinion, more credibility than it otherwise would have. Eli Manning spoke earlier today publicly for the first time since being benched in favor of Daniel Jones. He handled it gracefully, as I think most assumed that he would. We'll get into that next.
I'm a lawn guy and proud of it. Pro tip, watch the fall leaves. When that first bad boy drops, boom, get feeding and seeding with Scotts. Lay down Scotts Turf Builder today, and come spring, your lawn will be so thick, green, and strong, neighbors like Steve over there will be mad green with envy.
Hey, sweet lawn, Stevie.
Steve.
Don't be a Steve. Be a lawn guy. Pick up a bag of Scotts Turf Builder today. This is a Scotts yard.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions. Like company pages where you can get people excited about working for you. And we give you this toy monkey, which will bang its cymbals when the right resume appears. Okay, there is no monkey.
I said there is no monkey!
But company pages, for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo to try company pages for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
It's here, the 2019 Ford F-150 XLT, the truck you've always wanted, now with an offer you never expect. For a limited time, get a premium leather interior and a full spray-on or drop-in bed liner at no extra charge. The luxury you want with an offer you can't pass up. Hurry, this no-charge premium leather and liner offer ends soon. Katzen Premium Leather, valued at $1,695. Bedliner $450 equals total package value of $2,145. See your Ford dealer for details.
There are a lot of SUVs on the road today, but many SUVs lack in sport and utility, not Ford SUVs.
Don't let me go.
Because Ford SUVs offer intelligent four-wheel drive, not to mention ruggedness and versatility.
Your first name is free. Last name is down.
Which means you can drive it like an SUV is meant to be driven. And you can drive it like a Ford.
When the people of Memphis needed a voice on the city council, Frank Colvett was ready to answer the call.
This is Frank Colvett.
That's why Frank Colvett has made a great city councilman. He's always ready to help the people he represents.
Let me know how I can help.
When garbage wasn't being collected in a timely manner, Frank worked with the mayor to create a better system in his district. When our local neighborhood watch programs needed resources, Frank pulled in the Memphis Police Department and got it done. And when Memphis had the chance to achieve universal pre-K, Frank Colvett was the co-sponsor of the resolution that finally made pre-K a reality for all our kids. It's not that often we find a politician willing to listen. So when we do, let's make sure we keep him around.
Glad I could help.
Let's re-elect Frank Colvett. Early voting is September 13th through September 28th, and Election Day is October 3rd. Let your voice be heard. Paid for by friends of Frank Colvett, Anita Harris, treasurer.
It's football time in Memphis, and if you or someone you know is thinking of selling their home, it sure better be home selling time in Memphis. And just like you may have a favorite team, favorite coach, or favorite players, you may not have a favorite real estate agent. If you don't, think about drafting me, Sheldon Rosengarten, with Mark Spensdorf Realtors. I always tell people they need to talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out who will be the best quarterback of their home selling team. Have you heard people say that when you want the job done, call Sheldon? Find out why my award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. Also find out how to take advantage of our worldwide relocation network. Call or email me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. That's Sheldon Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now. And go Tigers.
Time for another Action Network Flash. Vegas continues to devalue Miami as it's a 21.5-point underdog at Dallas this week. Over 90% of the money is on Jason Garrett's team. For all of the up-to-the-minute betting info, download the free Action Network app today.
It's the once-a-year half-off everything sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. If it's in the case, it's half-off, except loose diamonds. This Friday and Saturday only, all 4 locations. This is the one half-off everything sale in every case at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
My Charmin clean booty is a thing of beauty. So nice, so fresh, so cutie. My booty, my booty. from the nitty to the gritty. A shining clean booty is a thing of beauty. A Charmin booty beauty.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen to make me always feel like a
Jeff
boss.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll wish him a happy birthday, and then we'll talk about some stuff. But right now, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Eli Manning met with reporters in New York earlier today for the first time since being benched yesterday in exchange for Daniel Jones, the first round draft pick, top 10 pick that the Giants took in the 2019 NFL draft. They announced yesterday morning they are turning to the rookie Eli Manning, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, basically holds every quarterback record in franchise history and has made more money playing professional football than anybody in the history of football is now going to watch from the sidelines. And to the surprise of nobody, I think he handled it as well as you could possibly handle this. Among other things, he said, quote, "I knew this was a possibility. I just said, hey, I'll handle it, and I'll support Daniel, and I'll be a good teammate and do what I'm told." He later added, "When you're a football player, you do what you're told. And this is what I've been told, and I'll handle it." And when you just contrast that with what lots of football players in his position would say under these circumstances, the idea that you've got somebody who has been an icon for that franchise, I think you could reasonably describe him as the best offensive player in that franchise's history. Certainly the most accomplished.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say best player because there's Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
But you could say best offensive player, certainly more most accomplished offensive player in that franchise's history. And you get benched 2 games into a season where it's not crystal clear you're the problem. To be fair, it's not clear he's the solution either. But there's a lot of problems with the Giants team right now.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is a big one. Who Eli's throwing to is another. Really, the only good thing about the Giants is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And so it would be, I would think, very easy if you're a different dude to sit in front of those cameras today and say, "I don't know why they committed to me at $23 million and brought me back only to trade my best offensive weapon and then pull the trigger on me after 2 weeks as if I'm the reason we're 0-2 after giving up in excess of 60 points in 8 quarters of football. Like, I'll be the face of this if they need me to, but if you were going to make me the face of this, why'd you bring me back? If you were going to make me bear this after 2 weeks, why'd you bring me back? If you wanted me to actually succeed, why'd you trade my best weapon?
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted me to actually succeed, why'd you spend a first-round draft pick on somebody who can't help me, a quarterback, on a guy who can only give you a reason to replace me? It's fine. You can do all that. But then why am I even here?" That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And yet, all Eli said was, "I'm going to show up to work and I'm going to try to help Daniel, and I'm not dying. Season's not over. You know, you never know how these things are going to go." The Giants have indicated they're committed to Daniel Jones, for better or worse, unless he just gets so overwhelmed in a way that you can't put him back out there, or obviously hurt. But with the way quarterbacks are constantly going down, like, he could get hurt. In fact, like, it's probably a good chance that he gets hurt just because, I mean, everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
And Eli is back on the field again. Like, the idea that we'll never see Eli take another snap for the New York Giants is possible, but I don't even know if that's probable. And yet Eli just made it clear, like, I'm not going to waive my no-trade clause. Like, I'm not trying to go anywhere, which actually I think makes sense given, you know, who he is. He's got four young children. You know, do you really want to waive your no-trade clause and then go spend, you know, the next few months in Jacksonville when your family's back in New Jersey, you miss your kids? Like, you're like, these are all things you have to weigh when you're, you know, a husband and a father, the way Eli's a husband and a father. And so I just thought he handled today tremendously. Truth is, for a long time now, since 2004 when he got there, he's handled all of the ups and downs about as gracefully as you can handle them. And today was another A-plus showing in that regard. A lot of people, myself included probably, long as we're being honest, could learn something from his performance.
Story number two.
Incredible story today from Chris Lowe, ESPN senior staff writer, ESPN.com, about the 1 year that Lane Kiffin was the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And it's just one story after another after another about how wild it was and the controversy that followed Lane Kiffin basically every step of the way until he ultimately left after 1 year for the USC job. And, you know, the second part of the story, not this particular story, but of the Tennessee football post Lane Kiffin story, is that they ain't got it right since then.
No.
But what some people like to insist is that they never gotten it right at all since they fired Phil Fulmer or forced him into resignation. And I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure they didn't get it right with Lane Kiffin.
No, I think he would have gotten that thing rolling.
I think he might have gotten that thing rolling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it's always wrong when people say Tennessee hasn't made a good hire since they moved Phil Fulmer. I think Lane Kiffin was a good hire. Mm-hmm. I think it would have worked. I think perhaps the one job in the world, certainly the one job in college football, he would have left for, happened to open after 1 year at Tennessee. And when you're the coach at Tennessee, but you're not from Tennessee, I mean, you get an opportunity to go coach USC and live in L.A., I think you got to take that opportunity.
Yep.
Now, with the benefit of hindsight, he'd have probably been smart not to do it because USC was about to endure all these sanctions. And though you could reasonably argue he should have done better there, could have done better there, it is true that he wasn't fighting a fair fight in the years that he was there for the most part. He was dealing with sanctions, scholarship reductions, all sorts of stuff that made the job harder than it otherwise would have been. And so I think, and Lane suggests this certainly, that if he didn't, you know, and perhaps this is true for all of us in different aspects of our life, if I knew then what I know now, I would have never left Tennessee the way that I left Tennessee.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that he had that program recruiting at a high level, had that program in the headlines. He was a big figure in college football, even if some of it was for totally the wrong reasons. And then he was gone just like that. But it's a tremendous story with a lot of great anecdotes from Lane, from other SEC coaches, and from some players who, you know, were under him in that 1 year at UT. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go to ESPN.com.
Story number three.
Steph Curry told Rachel Nichols in an interview published earlier today that he is planning to play for Team USA in the Olympics next summer in Tokyo, which I don't think is a surprise, but perhaps easing for some people who want to ensure we don't get embarrassed on an international stage again, because I did hear some folks after Team USA finished seventh in the FIBA World Cup suggest that maybe, just maybe, this will convince the big stars to stay away. Like, I don't want to go be a part of that and risk being a part of that. And I said it last week, and Steph Curry confirmed it here. Like, the Olympics is a different deal.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody cares if you've won a FIBA World Cup. Like, that's not... When you die and they write your obit, it's not going to say Steph Curry, who started Davidson before winning three championships with the Golden State Warriors and a FIBA World Cup, passed away today at the age of 78. Like, that, nobody cares about the FIBA World Cup. You know what will be in there? Steph Curry, who started Davidson before winning three championships and two MVPs with the Golden State Warriors and also winning an Olympic gold medal, died yesterday at the age of 78. The gold medals matter. The Olympics matter. The FIBA World Cup, whatever. It'll be a little bullet point on your Wikipedia page, but it's not anything anybody talks about. Gold medals are a different deal in the Olympics. And so Steph Curry, two-time MVP, has said his plan is to be a part of it. And I suspect when you look up next summer, Team USA will be filled not with second-tier and third-tier and fourth-tier NBA players, but with the top-of-the-line guys that are annually competing for MVPs.
Story number four.
Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States of America, said last night that he does not know if he could have handled the duties of the presidency at the age of 80. He's 95 now. And he was asked jokingly, like, if he would run for election in 2020. And he quipped,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.